Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of Utopia to Me, with me, your host, Chris Locke. Hi, nice to see you. Thanks so much for coming back into the Utopia to Me realm, the podcast realm. Hey, and if not back, then hey, welcome to the first time. This episode's insane. So you're going to enjoy, you're going to be like, if this is your first time listening to Utopia to Me, honestly, you're going to be like, what the hell? Because this was so crazy. I was out of it. Ebony was on point, and my guest is Ebony Rosen. All right. Super hilarious. All well-rounded stand-up writer, improv, sketch performer, super funny Ebony Rosen. She was on point and I was ridiculous and we had so much fun and laughter. This is one of my favorite episodes. So if you're just listening to this for the first time, you'll be like, this is crazy. And if you're coming back and you've listened to more before, you'll be like, I like laughs. I like big laughs because it's a goof troop city. And I loved it. Had so much fun. So pull over your car wherever you are and take that little foldable chair out of the trunk and just sit down and really dig in to this podcast episode with your earbuds on or something. You know what I mean? Like if it's hot, you know, sit there and wear like a Hawaiian shirt. If it's cold where you are, put a parka on and bundle up and listen. Because this is a really fun episode and I'm glad you guys can come check it out. So it's episode 53 with Ebony Rosen and we're going to dive into it now. So here we go. Enjoy. Do you like it though?
It's really nice tea.
Can you sort of tell that it's from China?
Yeah, I can really taste the China.
It's really funny. Yeah, drinking loose leaf green tea and then, trying to be a connoisseur or something.
Just leaning over your guests and demanding to know if they can taste the country of origin.
Yeah.
That's loose leaf. Can you taste the China?
Can you?
Have another sip.
When was it picked?
When was it picked?
You got treats here.
I did. I brought you some treats. Some squares.
So say what they are again. There's a bunch of squares.
Okay, I didn't fully
memorize.
This
is nice. People are really starting to bring treats each time.
You really built your little Sultan's Empire here where people just bring you goods and you serve them ancient teas and get the
secrets. Yeah, I'm excited to get like just fat from treats that I can't leave this couch and people just visit and bring me more treats and do my podcast.
Sort of like if Gilbert Grape's mom did a podcast.
Yeah, I would love her to, but I guess she burned down, eh?
I guess she burned herself down.
All right, see you later, Gilbert's mom. So these are little squares and...
Yeah, I think these are Hello Dolly squares with cranberries. These are like a lemon coconut situation.
Yeah.
And these are like pecan pie squares with bourbon.
Oh, okay. So we could get drunk.
Sure.
I don't know what a Hello Dolly square is minus cranberries.
I think a Hello Dolly square is a bit like a millionaire square, if you know what that is.
So are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I don't know all these squares.
It's like coconut and sugary and chocolate. They're very good. They're like a classic square.
Do you want to try one right now?
Yeah, which one should we have?
People listening, this is Ebony Rosen.
Oh, hi.
And she's my guest today, and we're also going to try a square for a sec, so bear with the mouth noises. Is this the one, the Hello Dolly with the cranberries?
You go for the Hello Dolly. I'm going to get this lemon coconut.
I said right away just because of like sugar was all I tasted so far.
Really sweet. I got these at a very weird place by my house.
Yeah, where'd you get them? By the way, people listening, future guests, you have to bring treats now.
Have I set a precedent?
Well, a few people have brought treats for sure.
Who else brought treats?
But I should make more a mention of it. Well, last time Ennis had cookies.
Good.
That were really good. But
Ennis really set in the bar.
No, there's been some other treats for sure.
He's got TV money now. He can buy all kinds of cookies.
That's the thing. The guy doesn't stop making cookie money.
I'm doing this on a soft writer's budget.
Yeah.
I can't bring these Hollywood cookies.
Mm. Damn. Okay, well, I have to use a Kleenex. I don't have napkins. But what's this place where you got them?
So it's at the corner of my street at Grayson Harbord, and it opened up a while. It used to be... There's always, like, weird stuff going in on Harbord Street. Like, next to it is just a place where you can go to make taxidermy.
In Toronto, I have a few international listeners.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
A few. One guy in New Zealand.
I was going to try to say apologize in a New Zealand accent, but it won't be good.
Do it.
New Zealand. I'm sorry. That's the best I can do. To do a New Zealand accent, I have to quietly say the word lesbian in a New Zealand accent under my breath.
Why quietly?
Just because it seems weird to shout it.
Because you're always trying to do a New Zealand accent, like, on the bus.
Yeah, just on the fly like this or whatever.
And then can I get a transfer?
Yeah. Lesbian. Can I get a transfer?
That's pretty good.
Really weird.
I really like the Hello Dolly. It's sweet. Okay, so Grayson Harbord in Toronto.
Yeah, so there's a taxidermy place if you're a taxidermy enthusiast.
I'm a huge freak for a taxidermy.
You should go there. They have glass windows, which is very upsetting if you're not into taxidermy and have to walk by. It's very disturbing. But this place is like, it's a full-on mulch shop that's like when I was in there, they were playing like, they play like 50s, like, music and like early Beach Boys, like not the cool, be like the ones in the Hondas. And like you can get like an egg cream.
Hondas or Rondas?
Both. They play all your favorite Hondas.
Help me, Ronda, get this Honda started.
That album, Hondas and Rondas.
Yeah.
It's very repetitive.
Damn it.
I just charted the very real relationship with Mike Love's relationship with a woman named Rhonda.
Yeah.
And then just some cool jams by Hondas in the middle. No, and they have like all this weird, they make like homemade soda, and all the guys have like the little hats like they look like in Back to the Future. It's like a full-on theme shop.
Oh, Jesus Christ. For a second I was thinking taxidermied guy.
No.
With hats on in the window. Dead guys like the freaking body exhibit.
Oh, God. I don't think they're allowed to taxidermy people there.
Just like, I got the two stores mixed up, and I pictured you listening to Help Me, Rhonda, while looking at dead guys. Okay.
Yeah, and then separately, I brought these treats. No, it's...
Okay, so beside the taxidermy horror zone...
It is like a full-on period-appropriate...
Grayson Harbord, how do I not know this then?
Is that nuts?
Let me think. Where is it? How do I not know? Maybe I know. Like, is it by that weird Thai place?
No, it's like by Bickford Park, like if you walk south from Christie Station.
Right. Oh, it's new.
Yeah, the intersection's not new. The intersection's been there for decades.
But it used to be a coffee shop.
It was. It was like the Bickford Flexitarian or something. And then...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, sorry for figuring this out right off the top.
No, it's good.
Wait, everybody. When I just think for a long time.
So long.
Yeah.
Silence me every time I try to chime in.
But this place is new-ish.
It's new. It opened in the summer, which made sense for a mulch shop. But now that it's winter, I'm like, what's the plan, guys?
Yeah.
You just make milkshakes.
And squares. Yeah. Are these holiday themed? I don't even know. Maybe adding a cranberry is, right?
You know what? Adding a cranberry is always holiday themed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put cranberries in these mulch milkshakes.
These egg creams. What is an egg cream?
I don't know.
We got to go to this place. It's really nuts.
Well, I've tried one of their squares so far. I like it. Okay, so thanks so much for bringing them and then also telling everybody about this place. I'm sure they appreciate it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuffed men there. It's terrifying.
I've never seen this taxidermy place, though. I'm scared.
It's not like a store. It's like a place where you can go and learn to do it.
Oh.
Which is creepier.
Yeah.
Because there's just middle-aged women in there just being like, do I just put the cotton in the squirrel? And you're like, this is next for my laundromat. I hate it. I don't like it.
Have you gone online and checked out bad taxidermy pictures? It's the best thing. You'll laugh for real to the max.
Because I used to be obsessed with anthropomorphic taxidermy pictures. Which is just people who put like squirrels in situations.
Yeah, those are cool. Yeah.
But this sounds great. It's gone awry.
People that saw Chip and Dale cartoons when they were a kid, they were like, yes. I have to make that real. Yeah.
So much scarier than the cartoon. So disturbing.
Yeah.
But so it's just bad. It's just bad taxidermy. I want to see it real bad.
How good would that be for? Yeah. Oh yeah. There's like a fox that looks cross-eyed. It's really funny, and his tongue sticking out. All kinds of good stuff.
Like you just saw a really hot girl in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he went cross-eyed and his tongue came out.
That's what killed him, actually. Yeah. Just like the beauty.
Yeah.
Now that's a fox. Does a fox think a hot fox is a fox?
Ooh. That's a deep cue.
Yeah. Very.
I'm going to assume we took that term for women from male foxes talking about female foxes in cartoons.
Is it sexist to think a beautiful woman is a fox? I don't know the lines anymore of what words we can say to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What appropriate words are equal to whistling a woman? I think it's all about intent. I think it's about who says them and who they're saying it about.
Like if I see a beautiful woman and I come all the way home and go in my closet and put my head in my laundry basket and go, she was a fox. Am I okay?
Why are the second and third parts a part of that?
Because I'm keeping it to myself. I'm not yelling it at a stranger.
Like the example I'm I was about to give before you made that. So I was going to be like if you were describing Kathleen and you were like, oh, she's a fox. But you were like, and right as I was about to say that, you were like, if I see a strange woman on the street and run home and put my head in a basket in a closed closet, say she's a fox. Like, oh, well, your example.
Well, Kathleen, I call a fox her face all the time, but she's my wife. So she already knows I'm so crazy.
Right. So right. You're not asking in general. You're asking to a strange woman what terms are okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares?
I think just sort of stick with a ma'am to her face. But yeah, if you want to yell into your laundry basket that a woman you saw was a fox, or I think if you're describing a woman you saw to your friends and you're like, she was a real fox, I think that's respectful.
Right. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
I have no idea. Sometimes there's lines are so blurred these days. Oh.
Chick is weird.
Yeah, chick, right.
Well, chick doesn't imply beauty or not. Chick just implies like...
Right. Whatever.
Yeah. We're getting too deep into this lexicon.
Okay. Well, yeah. We just started, had a treat, and then went crazy. Because we were talking about real foxes.
That's true. We were poorly taxidermied.
Okay. So let's talk about some of your amazing credits before we get going into your amazing utopian world.
Oh, my.
Well, I saw you and Kayla the other night. You have a new show here in Toronto that is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And you guys just... okay, so what it is you and Kayla are basically execs working in the film industry. And it's called what? Notes?
It's called Network Notes.
Network Notes. And then, yeah, so you get people to do improv scenes as in they are giving you a pitch to this movie idea. And you give them notes. But your characters are so... incredible that's basically the funniest part running through the whole show anyways.
Like, oh, thank you.
Well, anyways, of course. I mean, it was crazy. So funny. And then how did you guys come up with that idea?
Really, like, she and I have always been obsessed with, like, finding, like, weird twinning on stage and being the same character. And we forever were obsessed with movies, still are, about, like, aging screen actresses having a mental breakdown. Your Sunset Boulevards, your Whatever Happened to Baby Janes, your Mommy Dearests. so we always had this idea to do this weird show of like maybe these two like aging vaudeville sisters or whatever, and it kept getting like more historical than our knowledge was prepared for, and we were like, wait. And then we were kind of doing that version of a character to each other without really realizing it was like related to the film business. We were just talking in that, like talking as those women to each other, and then Julie asked me to come up with a show for Blockbuster Week, so I just sort of forced those ideas together.
When was that?
In the summer.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, wouldn't it be fun to give notes as those women?
Even though you guys are sort of playing these, like, yeah, two sort of twin-style best buds, there's still a difference in character there. Like, you are, yeah. Anyways, really good.
That's cool.
I'd be really scared to pitch an idea to you, your characters, for real.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I would get grinded to a pulp. Yeah, I want to do the show and be a loser and die.
And die? No one dies.
Well, you never know.
It's such a weird threat.
Everything's, yeah, this podcast is weird. My brain is weird.
Why is your brain weird?
I don't know. It just goes in different directions beyond my control.
Oh, you mean in general your brain is weird?
Yeah, and then I got and then I put a mic in front of my mouth and then,
yeah. A weird brain in my mic mouth. Who knows?
I'm still, yeah, you'll get it. There's no rhythm to this. But the thing is let's talk about, also you started in Picnic Face with like 300 other people.
Yeah, with like 70 other people. Yeah. It wasn't 300, it was 70.
Yeah, 700 other people, and they're all successful now, except for like two. No, I'm just joking. I have no idea. No, I have no idea. You guys are all successful, all creative, all amazing.
I'll go answer that question in your closet with the door closed and my head in your laundry basket.
I like the idea. Come on, you got to admit that is funny. The idea of
a
guy obsessed with new modern shame that he can only say how he feels in his closet into his laundry basket.
And what's funny about it is like the way you were going with it, it seemed like it was going to be into a bucket of cold water or something, like something to cool down from this fox, but it's just like just a bag of dirty clothes that he just puts his whole face in and just whispers a word.
Yeah, but here's the genius of my
I mean, it's already genius.
Story is that my laundry basket really is in my closet, so I used real things.
That's what they say, write what you know.
Exactly. As I was going to say, as a writer, isn't that what sort of gives the script that extra oomph?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Your laundry basket is actually in your closet at home? Yeah.
Yes.
I think the character would, you know, have that.
The character's modeled after me, and that's where I keep my laundry basket. Not so much as a personality thing, but because of the layout of my apartment, but I say we go with it. It's how every Seinfeld episode is written.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? Insane stuff. This is already an insane podcast, and it's only 14 minutes in.
Oh, bro.
Picnic Face, full of a million amazing, talented people, and you had to fight it out.
No. No, it wasn't the Thunderdome everyone was expecting it was, or of a collaborative situation.
Yeah. It was literally, yeah, insane collection of comedy geniuses.
It was nuts. It was such a great group. Everyone was so talented and cool and brought such a different energy. It really felt like, and I remember we would do shows occasionally where someone wasn't around and it felt different. Like you'd think with eight people, you'd be like, whatever.
Okay, eight people. For real.
800 people. But yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time.
And then you came back to Toronto.
Came back to Toronto.
And you've been writing a ton of TV shows.
Yeah, a lot of children's cartoons this year. This year's been a big cartoon year.
Yeah.
Both voices and writing, which is fun and
That's
weird
amazing.
To write for.
What cartoons do you do voices on again?
I did one called The Redonkulous Race, which is a spinoff of one called Total Drama Island.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, if you're an adult, which you probably are if you're listening to this, this is just sailing right over your head.
One of our past guests, Katie Crown, also a good friend of mine,
does a ton
was
of
on that show.
Oh, no kidding.
In the beginning, yeah.
Which character did she play, do you know?
No.
And then I did one.
But she has, like, kids fans from doing all these cartoon things. It's crazy.
This was the thing when Redonkulous came out. Like, kids were, like, tweeting at me and stuff. And I was like, oh, weird.
Yeah, and then you're like, I can't make that joke now.
Yeah, well, this is, I'm on a new one called Mysticons. That Steph Callender writes for and Jocelyn Getty too.
Oh, sweet.
And it's like, I feel like it's kind of the West's answer to Sailor Moon. Like they describe the environment as like Middle Earth meets Manhattan. And this, everyone's always like glyphing on their rune phones. I don't know if I'm allowed to be talking about this, but whatever. but it makes me laugh so hard. Just that idea. So it's just like teens in this like medieval magical space who all have like powers. There's like four of us and we all have powers.
Yeah.
And it's like with Nickelodeon and they're already building action figures and I'm like, oh, is this going to be a thing? Like, am I going to be responsible to this weird elf I play? I play the character that no one would want the action figure of.
I love that. No, you might be signing, like meeting weird people.
I'm going to meet some weird people, I think.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too.
That's what I want. I would love to be, like a weird character.
Like just adored by a niche of weirdos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. I mean, yeah, I guess my family is a niche group of weirdos, but that's not the same.
Do they adore you?
Yeah.
Well,
big time. No, actually. Aww.
Oh, no.
This has been the most, okay, I gotta say, I usually do this podcast in the late afternoon, and I think because it's early, my brain is so clunked out. Do you think it's clunky, or do you think it's smooth?
How do you like your peanut butter? Clunky or smooth?
Do you think my brain is clunked out, or do you think it's like a smooth ride? Because I'm like making bad jokes. Like, how do you say fox? Or like, my family is like that. Do they adore you? No. Like, what the fuck am I talking
Maybe
about?
Maybe you're more vulnerable at this early hour of after 1 p.m.
I'm mega vulnerable.
You're mega vulnerable. And I'm also dumb. I woke up late today and I'm full clunky.
Yeah, but doing all these writing gigs, you have a regular schedule, right?
Well, that's what, with cartoons, you don't, because you go into a summit for like a few days, but then you just have your scripts and you just have to finish them. Like, you just have to get in your outlines and your drafts on your own time. Not, well, by the deadlines, but as you see fit.
Nice. So you can make your own schedule. Well, I'm going to be real for you and maybe break down, even for the people listening, why my brain is so clunked up. Clunked out.
Clunky.
Kathleen's been gone for 2 days, and this is going to sound weird, but I've eaten very bad the 2 days she's been gone, and I can't sleep at night because I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Okay, so 2 nights ago, at like midnight, I watched the documentary Act of Killing.
Oh, you can't watch that late at night.
And then I tossed and turned all night and thought about it until like it was time to go out yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I'm still sort of thinking about
it. So disturbing.
Then last night I watched the season finale of Fargo.
And which I assume was scary. I'm not.
It's mega intense. The whole season's intense.
Yeah, that's not late night watch. You should not be watching that late night alone.
I've been watching,
young man.
I've been eating chips and watching tons of murder and then going to bed without my wife and tossing and turning.
And like fictional murder that's very styled, very real, and like very real murder about very real people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Act of Killing broke my mind for a bit because I'm the type of person that was like, peace. You know what I'm saying? That's how cool I am.
Just one more time.
Peace. But you know what I mean? So anyways, everyone that listens to this knows that I digress like crazy, but that was like real true and I needed to get it out.
You need to get it out. You've been scared at night.
So that's why I think I'm clunked up, because I have had no sleeps and I've thought about murder the whole time while being sick on chips.
Oh, man.
I also ate like a ton of like Chinese food at the Eaton Center yesterday.
At the Eaton Center. And then, didn't even want to bring it up.
It was called like Szechuan Hut. And then...
he said as if that justified.
The word Szechuan should have been classy, right?
But the word hut should have been it otherwise.
It's the word hut you got to pay attention to. But then I was doing a stand-up show last night and Alex Nussbaum, I don't know, you know him? Yeah.
We have the same eye doctor.
Oh.
Just saying.
Funny. Good.
Just saying, everyone.
He has to do this podcast before he goes to LA. But here's the thing. I was supposed to go on.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
I was supposed to go on. Then he was going to go on after me. And then right before I was about to go on, my stomach, I think, must have remembered the Chinese food.
You remembered the hut.
I remembered the hut. Szechuan the hut. And then I grabbed Alex in a cold sweat and was like, you have to switch with me. You know what I mean? And then he did.
Did you swear like that? Like your whole, like what? Like you were,
yeah, like I was falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went downstairs. And anyways, there was the bathroom was downstairs at this show. And anyways, so this is a long story, but I'm totally took it away from you. But I've been a mess since Kathleen's been gone for 2 days. But then this young guy who doesn't know me because he's new, and that's fine, you know.
Did not know which kind of hut, hut frequenter he was dealing with. Stand-up extraordinaire and hut man.
But I just mean it because he introduces me like this. Like, I have some fine credits as a...
You have some terrific credits.
...comedian, and then he goes... your next act was not supposed to be the headliner, but he ended up being the headliner because he had to go to the bathroom so bad.
That
and is- so I started my set by being like, you know what, guys, this is... and then I told the story of the goddamn Szechuan the Hut. And I had to fucking own it.
Well, I'm sure you did because you headline all the time. And that kid needs to know what's what at the hut.
You got to know Hut's Hut.
There's nothing worse than a terrible intro where you're like, am I just going to throw my set out and address the way you've chosen to bring me on stage? Or
yeah,
just cruise through it.
So I'm sorry I took 5 minutes out to like really unload, but I think I needed to do that.
I think you really needed to. It sounds like you've had a really traumatic 2 days. But like Kathleen was gone for like most of the summer doing different shows. Like, how did you survive then?
I toss and turn at night. I think I hear ghosts. The cats scare me.
Disturbing documentaries.
Yeah, no, it's usually fine, but it was more. It was definitely her being gone and my choices. This time, it was really, they were bad.
Well, I'm so happy she's coming home today. For you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Because I can't stay here all night. I mean, can't watch you.
Okay, any other credits you want to say before we dive in? I'm going to take a bite of this.
Yeah.
This one's mine, right?
I think so, yeah. This one's mine.
Okay.
Also, we have more squares than we can eat, so I say just sample like a dandy. Just do take bites of them all.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. No.
Okay. Well, you're very funny.
Thank you.
Super darn funny, but people are listening that don't know you for some damn reason already got that from the first 20 minutes, I'm sure.
From all my Hut material.
I set you up. You gotta be honest.
You set me up. That was like the T-ball of setups. You didn't even have to lob it. It was right there for me to whack off the post.
T-ball. Yeah, I got really sick from a shitty Chinese food. Go.
Oh, brother.
Boom.
Yeah, light me up.
Do you have any utopian ideas?
Okay. I was thinking about it on the subway ride over here, which was in no way a utopia. My utopia is not underground. Step one. Sure, no one says. But I was thinking that I do, that, like, variety is very important to me. So I think, like, I kind of met, like, every morning I could wake up and decide, like, today it's like a East Coast beach environment. And, like, tomorrow it's like a tropical setting. And the next day it's, like, the Montana wild. I've never been to Montana, but you know what I mean? And
the tundra.
I might skip the tundra. It doesn't have to be all of them. It could just be whatever environment I would choose.
So you want to cherry pick beauty locations on the world and squeeze them together?
Yeah, but I want like a different one every day or for every couple days. Like I can just change it when I want to.
Wow. And but are you still in the same place or are you traveling?
No, I think I'm in the same place. Like I'm just kind of holding court. And it's the same people, but it's just like a new set.
So you have a ton of clothes.
Yeah. I got all weather gear.
Yeah, okay. It's just me, a ton of different environments, and a sporting life that I can live in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds really nice.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Montana, mountain range, love that. Beach, tropical beach.
Beach, like an East Coast kind of beach.
You're from here, right?
I'm from here, yeah. No, Toronto.
Toronto. Oh, right. Sweet.
Yeah.
I feel like people that are from Canada always want that Canada woodsiness sometimes.
Yeah, definitely that sometimes.
The
cottage country.
Ontario cottage country.
And I think like whatever new environment it was each day, like the theme of the day would kind of be reflected by that environment. So like if it's a cottage day, it's like we're having a cottage day. You know what I mean? But if it's like a Montana day, who knows what we're doing?
You're good.
Wrestling cattle or something.
The annual running of the buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, shooting arrows towards a mountain.
Yeah, just into it.
That'd be funny if you, anyways, you're the cartoon writer. But if an arrow pierced a mountain and it deflated, cartoon style.
Hey, that would be great.
Okay, so that's in your world too. since you like it so much.
Also, there's some zany sight gags in my utopia.
In my utopia, sight gags. Yeah. Slapstick.
It's the kind of place where you can throw a circle onto the ground and then fall into a hole, if you know what I mean.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, some
people, if you can hear that scraping, that's one of my cats going crazy in the litter box. Oh my God. I hope it doesn't stink.
I thought because the scraping stopped, you were like, oh my God, I hope she's not dead. Like, she just keeled over in there. And then we just had to deal with that.
Like, she's covering herself up?
Yeah.
In the litter box? Like, I'm a piece of shit. Oh my God.
No, I'm sure. Okay. Now she's just hanging out in there.
What else have you thought of? Yeah. Well, one time. Yeah, that's the thing. Anyways, I've digressed too much. I'm going to stick here with you. But yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, so one time, I will say it stank really bad. And I was like, Wolfman, and she had litter all over her face. So like, what the hell? Anyways.
Gross.
Okay, but so all these locations, whenever you want, switch it up.
Switch it up.
Do you, like, if it's a beach day, you go out and on the surfboard?
Well, here's... No, never on a surfboard. I don't care for surfing.
Oh. Beach volleyball.
Sure. Sure, Chris. Beach volleyball, you idiot. No. But the other thing I think that would be fun and weird, and I have a hunch you're going to make fun of me about, but I think it would be cool that, like, a lot of my time spent in this utopia would be, like, learning new random skills at an accelerated rate, like either with like a figure that was like a full Sam Elliott for like the more masculine activities, and then like a very witchy Angelica Houston for the feminine activities. Just be a series of training montages of me learning to like whittle and play the harp and like whatever other random thing.
But you'd be able to learn all that super fast?
Yeah, like in a day.
I wouldn't make fun of you. That's what I want.
Really?
I want to know everything.
Me too.
I can't sleep at night because I'm scared because I want to know everything so fast.
That's why you're scared, or is it scared because you watch Fargo too late?
Well, there's this pretty scary part in it. Anyways, you'll see. Anyways, why would I make fun of you? I've laid all of this other shit on the line like 10 minutes ago. That's so embarrassing. Okay, so, yeah, I love that.
So you could be like, today's a Montana day, and, like, this weird Sam Elliott type figure is just
going to
be
like... I picture Sam Elliott being like, here's how you throw an axe at the mountain.
Today, we whittle. Like, just that vibe. And then at the end, you, like, know how to carve stuff.
Yeah, that's... But if it's so fast, would you run out of skills fast? To learn, I mean. Like, you'd have all these skills. And then what do you do if you become this perfect person walking around this earth that's interchangeable with whatever you like?
That's, you know what, maybe it's not that you learn it all in a day, because otherwise you'd just be like, you'd be a real dick.
I think you'd be a god.
You're a god.
Which is probably a dick if you meet them.
But you could you could revisit skill sets, I think, but what you could learn in a day is way more advanced than what you could learn in a day, like, on Earth. So it'd still feel really satisfying at the end of every, like, training day and whatever thing you were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's always more to learn. It's going to take a while for you to become a master whittler.
Yeah. But I like that. Because I've been thinking these days a lot about...
He's choked up. Jeez, so much.
Like earning your beer at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, it was you. Sorry, there's Bernadette.
Hi, Bernadette. You look very proud of whatever you just made.
It's true though. She's like,
Yeah, I smell that. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, like, what was I? Just like an interview I was reading from a cool, manly, old school guy. He was like, "You gotta feel like you earn your beer, right?" And I'm like, that struck me so much because what am I gonna stay inside and watch Netflix all day and then go have a beer? Like, that's
and then go to bed scared.
Ah, shit.
Well, that's like when you said beach volleyball, it's why, not because beach volleyball is not fun, but because, like, I was thinking, like, I used to go to this island off the coast of Massachusetts with my dad every summer. It was this really small island with huge tides, so you'd spend the day out there, like, digging for clams for your supper. That was really fun. And you go back and you'd be all, like, sandy and it would smell like the sea, and then you go back and, like, dump these clams to whoever hadn't clammed and was going to cook them and, like, crack an ice-cold beer, and it was, like, the best.
Wait, you did that?
Yeah, every summer.
Oh, wow.
So it's like incorporated into my utopia, I think.
Yeah, that's really nice. You should have been more detailed. I didn't know all about all this.
Well, you're doing a lot of sidebars about your night terrors.
I can't believe I admitted that. But I love that.
I love it.
So you have a beer while someone cooks.
Yeah, or often,
boils the clams.
Or often a martini at my, because that's what we do in my family. But there was always a
really?
Beer option. Yeah, but we're real.
You get to have
family.
Martinis with your family?
If you're with my dad at 7 o'clock, you will have a martini.
7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay.
But his martinis are so, this is weird. His martinis are so budget in the funniest way, because he buys vodka and puts it in the freezer. And then his martini is just a glass of vodka on ice, no vermouth, and then olive juice that he's stolen from the Olive Card at Loblaws.
Oh, my God.
He does, because he doesn't like the olives. He just likes the olive juice. So he goes to
steal. A dirty martini.
Yeah, but he goes to steal. And the only olive juice that doesn't have oil is, like, Kalamata olive juice. So he just has this jar in the fridge of, like, pink olive juice.
How does he get it?
Just by being, like, a charming old man with an empty. He just, like, takes an empty water bottle and, like, reaches into it and fills it up with olive juice and puts it in his, like, little man purse.
I'm shocked.
So you'll come over and you'll be like, you want a martini, son? Because he will call you son if you're younger than him, no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, sure, Mr. Rosen. And then he'll just pour a glass of vodka into a stolen first class airport glass that he's stolen.
Is it a martini glass?
No, it's just like the little glasses they give you for wine on the plane. He has a bunch of those stolen. Then he'll fill it with ice, fill it with vodka, and pour some stolen olive juice onto it. Pink olive juice from the fridge, and be like, and that's what a martini is? Do not question me.
Oh,
enjoy.
God. Does he actually live in a house or just a bunch of old mattresses and a tarp?
Shockingly, he lives indoors.
That's insane to me.
It's well, and what's extra insane why he gets away with it is my dad is like very handsome and it's like old school Hollywood.
How old is he?
Like 72. So he just has this like old, handsome, like white haired man, so no one's questioning him, and then he does the strangest shit.
Hold on, I just need to yell into my laundry basket, Silver Fox.
Yes. He's a son. So yeah, see if Silver Fox is okay, then Fox should be okay.
Yeah, well, it's about time we get to say weird names to, about men. Yeah. That's so cool. I love that budget. The most fancy drink, but accumulated from free things. Like, it's so... I love it.
And now when I order a martini at a bar, that's pretty much what I ask for. I'm like, I'd like a double vodka on the rocks with olive juice in it. Don't fuck with it.
Oh, wait, I missed this part. Did you say no vermouth? He does no vermouth? Why not?
He's just like, he can't be bothered to dick with it. The man's drinking like 2 or 3 martinis a night. He can't be bothered to go get the vermouth every time, and he doesn't shake them, so.
I don't know if that's a martini then.
No, it's a glass of vodka with stolen Greek olive juice. But we call it a martini.
Holy
and it's delicious
shit.
After clamming.
Yes, well, of course. Yeah, you have to earn that drink.
Yeah, you have to earn that too.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so clamming is definitely going to happen quite often.
Yeah.
Homemade martini.
Homemade martini.
Yeah, see, I'm a gin guy. I do Bombay Sapphire martinis.
I like those too. I always order those when I'm out. When I'm out, I always order gin just for fun. But yeah. At home, I have vodka.
Gee, I should make martinis for before my baby is born.
Like while Kathleen's in labor, like in an hospital, like, in a pipe, or like just because you feel like you won't be allowed to have one ever again once you have a kid.
Like smoking a pipe, and they're like, "Can you put that out?" And I'm like, "This is the last
martini in the hospital. I will get to drink."
What else are we missing? Lots
Wait, I'm
of stuff.
Curious about this. Do you feel like you're not allowed to have martinis ever after your kid is born?
I'm just a nervous Nelly. I'll go nuts.
Sure. Like,
I don't want to be tipsy around a human that's constantly tipsy.
Sure. For a while, but you can have... You realize, like, once your child... Like, eventually... Like, my dad's drinking martinis all the time. I'm fine. I'm sitting here with you. Like,
oh, once they're
up.
In... Yeah, once they're in... nursery school, I'm getting wasted.
So you want to have a martini before your kid's in nursery school is basically what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
well, there's so, we got
so much to think about. I'm really
up.
Nervous.
Are you? I'd be freaking out.
But I'm excited too. We're excited and nervous. It's ridiculous.
How much yelling of your feelings are you doing into the laundry basket inside your closet about this oncoming child?
Well, you know, the clothes in the laundry basket were just, you know, a little dirty just from wearing them one day. But after yelling in there all the time, they come out covered in soot. It's crazy.
What's in your mouth?
Just like vibes.
Yeah. I got a soot mouth.
Sooty mouth.
This kid's giving me a sooty mouth.
I get chimneys mixed up with my throat.
Is Dick Van Dyke just in there whistling and cleaning it up? That sounded weirder than I wanted to. I was going for a Mary Poppin reference, and it just sounded like I was making a very crude joke.
Do you know that all of Britain hates his accent in that movie?
Hates Dick Van Dyke's accent?
In Mary Poppins.
I mean, he's phony in that accent. It's pretty loose.
Yeah, it's like a clown.
Yeah, he's like a clown.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just make him an American.
I think all music bands should be mad at him for doing that one-man band costume.
All music bands?
Like, hey, get some more people to play those.
Get some friends.
Get some friends to play with you. Oh, my God. This has been a crazy episode so far, in my opinion. Let me... I'm really out of it. What did I want to ask? Okay, but yeah. Is your house going to change depending on the environment?
Yes.
Okay. Like, if it changes, are you going to be inside while it changes?
I'm imagining the way it works is, like, you go to sleep in the one house, and then you wake up and, like, you dream about the next house that you want to have. Because there's only good...
And then you wake up in that house.
Yeah, and then you wake up in that house in that environment. Because there's only good dreams in this environment. Okay. I feel like it's my goddamn utopia.
Yeah, you can say.
Yeah.
Only good dreams.
Only good dreams.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? Did you have any other ideas?
I mean...
That was it. You just want different environments.
I just want different environments.
How many people are around in this world of yours? Like, are you sure?
Not a ton, but like different pockets of people that I can see at different times.
Everybody that's come on here doesn't want a ton of people around.
Well, who's like, you know what? I love crowds. I want it to be overpopulated in my perfect world.
Yeah, you're right. There's no one that's like, I like this. It's cozy. Overpopulation.
No.
No. Weird, eh? We all know globally that there should be way less of us. Isn't that the weirdest global awareness idea?
Yeah, like when people are just free to describe their perfect space, there's way less people than are in the world.
Well, I noticed, like, from rising from poor to extremely rich, it's always like, I mean, when I read about it or watch a movie about it. Are you dying right now? Swallow it.
I didn't see what you were talking about yourself. In the most grand but obvious way. On my rise from being poor to extremely rich.
No, I mean what I've noticed when I read.
Your apartment?
But if you. Just looking at the world through the internet box.
Yes.
The natural thing is like, you know, like even airplanes are like coach, then like
business less class, people and first class, there's even less
and
people.
And then like, fuck you class.
Yeah. People who build, people like tend to.
But literally becoming more successful always leads to less isolating people. Yourself.
Yeah.
Like people are like, I own an island in Tahiti. That's how rich I am.
Yeah.
Which translates to stay away from me, stinky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's so like, why is that a part of us? Our whole thing is we evolve together as a society. There's no doubt about it. We all need each other. And yet, we're constantly striving to be away from each other.
It's why I always find it fascinating when, like...
Or having people around us on our terms.
Yeah, which I guess is how... Because like, there's the few millionaires... Millionaires, not anymore, Ev. Take a look at the economy. billionaires. I don't know what I'm talking about. But like who choose to be rich in New York, which is always interesting to me. Cause like they always have a penthouse or the top built, but like you can't move away from the people. And once you go into the city, it's undiscriminating of how busy it is. So I think there is a certain type.
But those are the type that like catching a show.
Right? Ever since you've become extremely rich, you've really understood the lingo of extremely rich.
Oh, I want to be...
Might like to catch a show, let's say.
I feel like if I was extremely rich for real, I would use it to just go on hikes in nature more. Nothing too crazy. Like maybe have a place like in the woods. Montana.
Yeah, Montana.
Yeah.
Well, you can come to my utopia whenever it's a Montana day.
I actually got excited for real. And we're okay. Yeah, I would love to go walk around Montana. Actually, it's so funny. Another past guest, their utopia was Montana.
Just Montana.
Sarah Schaefer, do you know her? Yeah. American comedian. Funny. But cool. The thing is it reminded me that Ted Turner owns like most of it. And him and Jane Fonda have this like ideal sort of range with the whole, like that's their home. And then like a whole with buffalo on it, I think. And like a whole mountain range as their view.
Yeah. That would be a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately.
You have to own a ton of TV.
Yeah. Okay.
You're getting there.
My dreams, I think still, like I'd like to have that sometimes, but I think. Like, I grew up close enough to water that, like, having ocean is very important to me. So I think the Montana ideal I couldn't sustain it for very long as my paradise because I have to have the sea.
You grew up close to the sea in Toronto?
No, but we had the lake, which still felt like that. And then all the places I went, travel with my family, like, they have a place in Florida that we would go to or this place in Massachusetts and then living in Halifax. Like, a lot of my, I'm very comfortable with the sea and, like, tides and getting food from the sea.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the sea.
You were born from, as we all know, you were incepted in the sea.
And now look at me. Yeah. I've made it. But the thing is, every human being should crawl out of the sea with the goal to become extremely rich. But I was born in Toronto, but I have a connection to the sea, too. It's weird.
So my utopian world, I think, primarily would involve sea environments.
I love it.
But like a big wooden... kind of farmy house near the sea.
Don't you love the Maritimes?
Yes.
My mom's whole family's from New Brunswick.
It's so beautiful out there. It's so nuts.
Yeah, they grew up on the Bay of Fundy.
Ugh.
And when I go out there and visit, I go on like whale watching.
You go on whale watching. You go on whales.
I get whale watching. I get whale watching mixed up with Weight Watchers. I go watching while I'm on Weight Watchers.
And the whales make me feel better about my weight. They're huge.
Yeah.
Is that
thanks,
how you
guys.
Taught them?
Yeah. Yeah, I go on the boat. I just move my hand around the ocean and go, ooh. I like doing that noise.
Okay. Yeah, you're good at it.
Anything else? So not a lot of people.
Well, like not...
All the losers are dead.
Yeah.
You didn't say that, but I got what you were getting at.
It's not that they're not invited. They're dead. But it would be all my favorite people, all like the best kind of people. Like people who are great conversationalists without being dicks about it. People you can just chat with forever.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I love interesting people. And
everyone's funny.
And some of them are teaching you crafts the whole time.
Yeah. Well, Sam Elliott and Angelica Houston are, taking turns.
Angelica Houston, man. I love her. Jeez.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun if she, like, taught me how to, like, weave?
Jack Nicholson really blew it with her, eh?
Yeah. I like how you didn't like my... You're like, I don't want to listen to these two women weaving in your utopia. Let's talk about Jack Nicholson's failings as a man.
I did move away pretty fast because the idea of weaving is so goddamn boring to me.
Fair enough. You don't have to learn it.
No, but I'm glad that you and Angelica will be doing it.
That's not my first choice of the things she could teach me. It's just something I thought of. Or she teaches me some really elaborate
look,
culinary
you want these
skills.
Giant, like, mega Hollywood celebs that are indelible in the history of Hollywood... to teach you wood whittling and weaving.
I think
like the most boring things in the world.
Here's what I actually want. Okay, in a more spiritual zone of it. That's just who I'm imagining. But I kind of want the masculine side of myself and the feminine side of myself to be represented as two figures,
right,
who take turns teaching me skills that represent those two sides of my personality. And if I had to give them a face, one would be Sam Elliott and one would be Angelique. Those are the two beings that live within me.
Oh, I love that. That's a good...
That's what I'm really saying.
Interesting. Wow. I wish I knew who my two guys were. I think they're both Tilda Swinton.
So one sort of Conan O'Brien, because they look the same.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that.
They're both Tilda Swinton. Just Tilda Swinton.
A bunch of Tilda Swintons are in my head freaking me out.
You don't even have two sides of your person. It's not the masculine and the feminine. It's just a murder of Tilda Swinton.
Okay. Oh, let me see. Oh, that's good. Yeah, this is fun. Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Okay, good. Me too. I'm out of it today, but I like that we're it's having fun.
Yeah.
I should stop saying I'm out of it. This is fine. Right?
You're not as... What did we decide it was?
Clunked up?
Clunky. You're not as clunky as you think you are.
Okay, good. Yeah, it is just because it's earlier in the day. But you know what? People listening to this, they'll listen to it all hours of the day. They'll have no freaking idea.
They won't know.
Yeah.
There's no concept of time.
It's not even that early.
No, it's like 2 p.m.
It's like 2 p.m., but I just tossed and turned all night thinking there were ghosts all around me. Murderers.
That's so scary. I don't like...
Did you watch The Art of Killing?
The Act of Killing? No, I've been...
Oh, The Act of Killing?
Psyching... like, too much? It's sort of artful the way they...
It's called The Act of Killing, but man, did they make it an art.
I was talking about it with Kayla and James Gangle the other night, actually, and I keep psyching myself up to watch it. But it's one of those things where, like, I want to see it intellectually, but I'm not like, oh, it's Friday night. What do I feel like doing? Watching some people get killed.
No, but
like,
you don't watch them get killed.
I know. You watch them talk about how psyched they are about killing.
It's interesting.
I know. It seems fascinating. I'm dying to see it. And I didn't mean to be cavalier in the way I describe the content. I just, you know what I mean? It's the kind of thing you psych yourself up to watch, not the kind of thing that you like can't wait to get home from work. And
oh, there's so many sad movies I haven't watched yet that I'm supposed to watch.
Yeah.
But it's like, why? You know?
There's another one I'm dying to see that's a documentary. I forget the name of it, but it's about this guy. They found this documentary filmmaker found this footage of this guy who just documented his life from like 1983 to 2015, like everything. Uh-huh. And it's him, like, it starts with him being like this skinny young guy who's going to be like, this is going to be the year I'm going to be. And he just keeps getting older and fatter and living in his mom's basement and like sleeping with prostitutes and all this like disturbing stuff. And he keeps trying to like get himself out of it. And,
God.
Can see him on every... You can see just a time-lapse of him on every single New Year's going backwards. Of
What's
him
it
being,
called?
I'll find out and send it to you. All of you. I'll send it to all of you.
Is it called What a Loser?
No. But then there's some weird thing about how Carl Sagan shot, like, all that shit into space in 1977. Like, that, like, Mozart's whatever and the image. And they also shot this guy's footage into space later because they were like, hey, aliens, this is a human life. That's what it looks like. You're so bummed out by that. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to know.
I really am. Like, when aliens finally do come to this planet, and they're coming soon, next summer, 2016. Yeah, we're going to have to be careful of who they talk to.
Yeah, we got to keep that guy away from them.
Yeah.
So you got to send someone cool.
They're like, what's Facebook? We're like, nothing. You know?
Don't worry about
it. Don't read it.
If we had to send one person on Earth, like one celebrity from or across history, they can be alive or dead, to like go greet the aliens, like who do you think our best bet is?
Barack Obama?
He's pretty charming.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't mean to give you a deafening silence after that.
But even if he's full of shit, which all presidents are. That's their job, right? Is to make shit seem chill.
He's very charming and very diplomatic. I think I was just hoping for a more fun answer than the current president, which is who we'd probably send.
Well, then I would say Keanu Reeves' character in Point Break.
That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Which I'm sure Barack studied.
Sir, we're about to hit the campaign trail.
Well, this is the other
we
day.
We need to watch Point Break one more time.
You're going down, Bodhi. I mean, ISIS. Well, like, I saw this thing the other day.
He just keeps referring to ISIS as Bodhi.
Harsh tokes, Bodhi. No, but I saw this thing the other day where they were like, Barack O'Donnell. This is one of my giddiest episodes. Barack O'Madonna,
the greatest human mashup in the history of time. Imagine.
Oh, God.
No, you don't like it. Okay.
You know what? When I think of Madonna...
What do you think of when you think of Madonna? I'm very curious.
Well, because I grew up with a sister and a mother.
Okay. Classic stuff.
I think my dad was around, but they were like... They played the Vogue CD or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the max. And so I really liked it.
Yeah.
And that era of Madonna is the best. Like, when the book came out and it was all...
Her sex book?
Sex book, yeah. And, like, she was in Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah. And A League of Their Own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, she was good.
Yeah. So that's the Madonna I like remembering.
Yeah.
I don't like the Madonna that... what's that guy from the Banksy documentary?
The, like, weird guy that it ends up being about?
Yeah, and then she, like, he made an album cover for her. And I'm like,
Yeah.
It's, like, it sort of, like...
feels like she lost touch with...
You don't have to be, like, hot and, like, you know, breaking boundaries or whatever. Like, you don't have to be so hot and, like, in tune with everything.
You have to be so hot.
I mean, like, hot as in, like,
hip.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah, hip. Yeah, she's a fox. I just yelled into my laundry box.
You skittered down the hallway. I just waited here.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? My mind is broken right now. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
She doesn't want to be old. She doesn't want to be old.
She doesn't want to be old.
Just be old.
She named her daughter a name I find hard to pronounce.
What is
Lourdes? Lourdes? I don't know how to say it.
Isn't that popular singer?
No, that's Lord.
That girl's name is Lord?
I think it... You know what? I'm not doing this with you. But I forgot where we were even going with this. Like, good era Madonna mixed with Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah, then yes. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, but, like, we're so far from that now.
Like,
yeah,
Barack Obama with that, like, pointy bra?
Yeah, and just, like, a fun energy.
Yeah.
A fun attitude about sexuality.
Yeah.
Friends with a lot of gay men.
She did a lot of cool stuff back then.
She was cool as hell.
She was super political, but like in a fun way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's
I cannot believe how long we've been talking about Madonna.
Now it's like grandma just trying to be like, put on that record, you know? I'm going to dance.
That is what it's like.
It is. That'd be funny if, like, in between songs at one of her concerts now, she just went, I'm dancing to records.
Watch my body move. Vogue.
So someone asked Barack Obama what his favorite song of 2015 was, and it was that Money song by Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And my knee-jerk reaction was like, see, he's cool. But then I thought, like, someone told him to say that probably. Like, come on. Like, what do you think? Is he cool for real, or is he just a puppet like they all are?
Man, this is a tough political question.
Well, you're going to need to know it on Utopia to Me.
I really feel like my utopia is not being demanded to answer political questions, but I guess that's part of it. I think that's real, because I don't think that... his, like, weird white handlers all around him would pick that song necessarily for him to say as his favorite. Not that it's a problem to say it, but I wonder if that would, like, if he's cultivating the exact image that the people around him think he should, or if he's just kind of doing his own thing. It's hard to say.
Actually, yeah, that's pretty intense, because the cover of Kendrick Lamar's album was, like, have you seen it? It's in front of the White House, and it's, like, Kendrick in, like, a gang of buddies on the White House lawn and, like, a dead white judge in front of them. So that's pretty sweet that like the president is actually like,
yeah, I feel like
I like this.
I feel like it's an involved thing if someone told him to say that, knowing that would be the case. I feel like people who are like political handlers are always more nervous than the politicians they handle. Otherwise, why do they need handlers?
They're like, say Bonnie Raitt.
She must have had an album out this year. She's a hit. One guy on Barack Obama's staff that loves Bonnie Raitt and won't let it go. Everyone being like, she might be dead. Stop it. I just think Bonnie's doing some cool stuff. We could use our political influence to kind of get her back in the media. You guys know what I mean?
I feel like I've
really... Get Jeff out of here.
Yeah. I really unlocked that era of growing up with my mom and sister for a sec. Bonnie Raitt and Madonna. Yeah, I'm okay, but what is... How should we end this? Do you have any more ideas about your utope?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
We digress to the max.
I feel like we didn't really fully build my utopia. Like, it's definitely a place that has some changes in it, and then my inner man and inner woman teach me some stuff.
Yeah.
And some cool
Sam
people
Elliott,
are there.
Angelica Houston.
Yeah, what are the other questions you usually ask people about their utopia? I feel like...
Oh, there's not that many people around.
There's not that many people around. I feel like...
You are drinking dirty martinis.
Drinking dirty martinis, but no one ever gets, like, hungover or anything like that. They're good for you.
Yeah. They give you power.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last few episodes, I've been letting it cruise because people have their own ideas. So I like
maybe
that.
Maybe I would... I think it would be fun to take lovers in like an old like 70s novel kind of way where like I just live in the big house up the hill and like just like a man comes to live with me for like 2 weeks and we have a torrid affair and then I send him on his way and then hang out for a bit.
That's like a 70s novel or like a Harlequin romance?
No, because the Harlequin romances are too torrid. That to me is more of like, you know, like 70s artists like, yeah, he would come to her cabin for a while and they would just like make art and like... fuck in front of fireplaces for a bit and then he'd take off.
So many
off
fireplaces
again.
In the 70s.
Yeah, I just want to... I want to do some fireplace sex in my utopia.
Okay.
Is
like,
that okay?
Even on the, like, the tropical setting?
No, that one would have a different sex area.
What's the tropical beach sex area?
That's a great question.
Yeah, geez, are we going to have to go back to the 70s to find a tropical beach book?
We might. Somewhere in like a grove or a glen of some kind. Does that make sense?
I'm going to try
this. I think it's outdoors.
What's this, lemon square?
Lemon coconut, yeah.
I think...
Yeah, no. Tell me more about this sex area while you eat this lemon square.
I think there's definitely some kind of... toucan sitting on the window watching you. Maybe some monkeys making noise outside. But I still don't know the area yet.
I feel like it's on a canopy bed outside on a secluded beach.
Nice. With a mosquito net.
With like a mosquito net. And no, there's no mosquitoes. It's utopia, Chris. Come on.
Well, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I have a terrible insect phobia, so there are no insects in my utopia.
There we go.
None.
Should I delete all the Barack Obama Madonna stuff?
Yes. You talked about Madonna for a song. And then I made a comment about how we'd been talking about Madonna for so long, and then you just kept talking about Madonna.
Well, I need to feel like I wrapped it up.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone listens to me talk. The thing is no bugs. It took us... See, sometimes you got to push through.
Yeah, I feel...
We're at an hour now, and we just discovered no bugs.
That's very important to me.
Yeah.
There are no insects.
Why? What happened?
I don't know.
No one really likes bugs, but...
But I have, like, a phobia. Like, I can't even look at them or look at, like, photographs. Certain bugs are okay, but, like, anything... I can barely talk about it. And this is going to make you want to tell me a terrifying story about bugs. And I have to ask you not to, because I will just get up and leave your apartment without addressing you or apologizing. That's how intense it is.
Really?
If anyone tries to tell me a story about, like, a cockroach or maggots or centipedes or millipedes, any of, like, the extra creepy bugs,
What about grasshoppers?
Grasshoppers are fine.
You just looked around my apartment. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's very real. Like, yeah. Like, there's other bugs that I can, like, tolerate their existence. But yeah. I don't want them. I don't it, like if they weren't around, I'd be fine with it. I can sacrifice butterflies to have no bugs anywhere ever.
Wait, you don't want butterflies?
Like
you like butterflies?
I like butterflies,
beautiful.
But like it opens up a can of worms. No pun intended. I'd rather just be like, you know what? There are no bugs here.
Wait, are worms bugs now?
No, I don't want them. Get them out.
You don't like little creatures at all.
But only insects. Like mice are fine. Like rodents are fine. I have lizards, snakes. Like I have no problem with any other creepy crawly.
Teeny
animal.
Snakes.
Teeny snakes. I love teeny snakes.
Have you ever seen baby snakes being born out of a big snake? Like, you will want those all over your face?
The weirdest kid on the playground and just comes up to a group of girls and is like, hey, you ever seen little snakes being born out of a big snake? And they all run and they're like, Chris, what?
Kindergarten is literally when I dropped out of school.
No, it isn't.
Well, feels like it sometimes. Feels like it today. Here, is there a thing that just happened to you when you were a kid that you were like, no bugs, please?
No, I think it was a combination of my mom grew up in New York, so it was always like very intense about like roaches or anything else like that. But she's also terrified of rodents, which I'm not, so I didn't inherit that from her. But the weirdest thing is, like, I never knew where it came from, but it escalated as I grew up. And I think there's a few different incidents. But one is that, like, when I was much older, I went back and watched like Wrath of Khan, which I hadn't seen since I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And then the scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, but it wasn't just upsetting. I was like, this is part of my trauma, like seeing this scene as a kid. I didn't realize
it. Can you say what it was?
They put the bug thing in his helmet and it goes in his ear.
What a loser.
Chekhov's ear. I can't. Yeah, but.
Chekhov, right?
Chekhov.
What a loser.
But seeing that scene as an adult, I realized I actually. Part of my phobia was from seeing that scene when I was too young.
Like it heightened it, but it solidified it.
Not so much that, but just being like in the tapestry of things that gave me this. Severe phobia, I realized, like, that was a very specific thread that I didn't even remember. I didn't even remember I'd seen the movie.
Wow. Yeah, hey, we should, I should go back in time and think about the movies I saw when I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah, man. For sure. That was the takeaway there. That was the takeaway of that story about my crippling phobia. You should remember some movies you've seen in the past.
I think I need to start this podcast over. Like, I'm talking every episode needs to be deleted. I'm dying. I suck at this.
I'm just imagining people listening to us laughing for like 45 seconds
while they're driving.
Yeah, like, what's happening?
I really hope that happens.
Oh my god.
Your whole traumatic story, though, about Wrath of Khan and the birth of bugs in your life. And I'm like, I should think about movies
that I've seen before.
Do you know, I'm trying to pitch this podcast as a show. There's no fucking way.
No, just don't use this episode as part of the pitch.
I have to. I love that it's insane.
I love that it's insane, too. Wait, a show in what way? Like a live show?
No.
Like a taped show, but like a live action.
I shouldn't say. I just jinxed it. This is never going to happen.
On the television.
Yeah. Like,
I think that would be great.
On the old school television. Yeah.
I just described this as not being live action because I got confused about humans.
Live action is happening right now, too. Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, you will. I don't think so.
Not anymore.
It's so, yeah. Anyways, you'll see. You'll have a podcast one day and you'll see. Okay, so no bugs.
No
the environment
bugs.
Changes to your whim according to your dreams.
According to my dreams, I can take lovers in a way that like everyone feels good about.
We still don't know where like in the tropical zone.
No, in a canopy
zone.
Bed.
Oh, yeah. Secluded. Mosquito net.
No, we don't need a mosquito net because there's no bugs.
Oh, right. there's no Wrath of Khan anywhere.
No.
To rent.
I do like that movie, but maybe I can watch it, but that scene isn't in it.
Angelica Houston and Sam Elliott are in teaching you super boring crafts.
They're not.
What did she just do?
I don't know. My hand was between my legs and she just sort of poked it.
What a little goof. Sorry, yeah. That was Bernadette. We're talking about everybody.
They would teach me cool skills. Knife throwing.
Yeah.
Ancient dance.
Yeah. There was
drums. Skateboarding.
Sam Elliott? Or who teaches you skateboarding? Angelica Ooh. Houston?
I think I have a younger inner teen cool guy.
I just pictured you on a hat.
Comes out.
Oh, who's that? Barack Obama. Ooh,
no, it's Marty McFly. Like it's that era. Michael J. Fox comes out and teaches me any young person skill.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah,
from that era.
Yeah, I think that was my first crush as a kid.
Really, Marty?
Marty McFly.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
he meant well.
Sure. Do you want to think about some of the movies you saw?
Well, I saw that movie. Maybe that's why I'm traumatized by people that look like Biff. No offense.
What do you mean? Were you saying I look like Biff?
No, I'm just saying in general, if I leave this house and people that look like Biff come around.
There's just a gaggle of Biffs waiting downstairs to beat you up.
In High Park.
We heard what you said, man.
All punching their own like hand, yeah. Waiting for me. Yeah, what else? Martinis, clams.
I mean, really anything you'd want to eat.
Not a lot of people.
But enough.
Losers are dead.
You out of that, but yes.
I'm going to do this.
Everyone there is very interesting and very funny and very fun. Everyone's fun.
Yeah.
To like talk to and engage with.
Yeah.
No duds. There's
right,
no
right.
Duds.
No duds.
No plugs.
Give me an example of a dud, please.
I feel like I have to come up with a character or a famous dud because I'm not going to out someone we know that I secretly think is a dud.
Damn. Yeah, give me a famous dud.
I don't know, like Ben Stein's not going to be there. You know what I mean?
I bet you he's.
Probably cool.
Isn't he a genius?
Funny.
He has that win Ben Stein's money thing.
You're right. He probably has some cool trip. But
that damn voice. Like,
I know.
Get out of here.
You're a dud.
Yeah, take that voice to outer space.
Yeah, in my utopia, Ben
Carl
Stein's.
Carl Sagan's time capsule.
In outer space. But he's fine.
That'd be funny if, like, Carl Sagan's capsule that he sent to space was actually full of stuff with a note that says shit we don't like about Earth. So that's what they learned first?
Just a shit list?
Yeah.
Here's all the people who've hurt my feelings. By Carl Sagan.
I would love that.
That's all he actually sent. Didn't send the Mozart or the image of Adam and Eve. He just sent a list of people who have been mean to him, to the aliens, and asked them to get their revenge.
Please help me. An image
help me
of
stop
Adam and
these
Eve?
Bullies. Or no, it's like, it was not Adam and Eve, but it's like it's the outline silhouette of a male figure and the outline silhouette of a female figure, I believe.
Good Lord.
Because I couldn't do, like, anything full nude for some reason.
He's really asking the aliens to put a lot of work into figuring out this time capsule. Like, first of all, is Beethoven on a vinyl record?
Oh, yeah, maybe it's Beethoven and not Mozart.
Oh, maybe it's Mozart.
No, it might be Beethoven.
Yeah.
But, no, it's on some kind of, like, bizarre gold record.
Exactly. So what's he asking them? I hate that.
I think it's with whatever it needs to be played on. I don't know, man.
How big is this capsule?
Now you have all these questions for me. We were talking about my utopia. You were talking about Madonna and your childhood films. Now you're grilling me on Carl Sagan's time capsule.
I'm really embarrassed about everything I said
today. You shouldn't be. This was a delay.
Did you have fun?
I feel like I got to learn a lot more about you, too, in a fun way.
So did I.
About yourself?
Yeah, this was an intimate interview with myself in a weird way as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Okay, thanks.
So fun.
Me too. Yeah, if you're listening at home, thanks for listening to us get the sillies.
Did we ever?
All right, everyone. That was Ebony Rosen and C. Wasn't that so much fun? What a goof city. Everything was big laughs and so much fun. Ebony, thanks so much for coming on. And guys, follow her. Keep up to date on her crazy career because it's always spinning out of control because she's so funny and popular. At Ebony Rosen. Follow her on Twitter there, at Ebony Rosen. And then, you know what? That's it, man. Fold up that foldable chair and throw it in back in that car and just boot it on back down the highway. Because you know what? Life is a highway and you got to drive as fast as you can. Don't worry about anyone else around you and just boot it. You know what I mean? You know what? Don't even look at the road. Just if you have a sunroof, open that sunroof and look at the sky and then hit the accelerator. Please don't. And then follow us at Utopia to Me. And then... tell people about it, retweet it, show, you know what I mean, all that stuff. Be like, oh man, this podcast is insane. I like it. And then follow me, please, at Chris Locke Fun. I'm a stand-up writer, performer, actor. All kinds of ding-dong stuff is happening, and it's always nice to promote that stuff out there. But otherwise, thanks for coming, guys. You're the best. Couldn't have done it without you. Actually, I could. No one could be listening to this at all, and it'd be out there in the sky, just floating around, bumping into planes. But here's the thing. Just get outside now and enjoy yourself. Kind of mild December here in Toronto. Maybe you wish that there was some snow, but you know what? I might go down to a lake and eat a sandwich, and you should do the same. So that's it. Thanks for listening again. Have a good day, and bye. We'll be right back.